We're continuing Chapter 12 of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. No one, not even someone dreading taking Polyjuice Potion later, could fail to enjoy Christmas dinner at Hogwarts. The Great Hall looked magnificent. Not only were there a dozen frost-covered Christmas trees and thick streamers of holly and mistletoe crisscrossing the ceiling, but enchanted snow was falling warm and dry from the ceiling. Dumbledore led them in a few of his favorite carols.
Hagrid, I like this part.
You like this part?
Maybe Christmas or Halloween or whatever.
Do you want to be at Hogwarts for Christmas?
For everything, yes.
All right. Miss Witch Carolyn. Hagrid booming more and more loudly with every goblet of eggnog he consumed. Is eggnog supposed to have liquor in it?
Yeah.
I don't think the eggnog we've ever gotten has had liquor.
No.
Also, eggnog is not very tasty.
I love eggnog.
No. I don't know why you would. It's kind of gross. Percy, who hadn't noticed that Fredge had bewitched his prefect badge so it now read Pinhead, kept asking them all what they were snickering at. Harry didn't even care that Draco Malfoy was making loud, snide remarks about his new sweater from the Slytherin table. With a bit of luck, Malfoy would be getting his comeuppance in a few hours' time. Harry and Ron had barely finished their third helpings of Christmas pudding when Hermione ushered them out of the hall to finalize their plans for the evening. What is Christmas pudding? Is that a special, like, is there a thing, or is it just whatever the pudding was for that day?
I don't know.
Okay, well, I wasn't sure if there's, like, a standard Christmas pudding.
I think it's an English thing.
Okay. English people like pudding a lot more than American people do. When you look at the word pudding a lot, it starts looking really weird. It's almost like it would be pudding.
Yeah.
Anyways, English foods are weird. We still need a bit of the people you're changing into, said Hermione, matter-of-factly, as though she were sending them to the supermarket for laundry detergent. And obviously, it'll be best if you can get something of Crabbe's and Goyle's. They're Malfoy's best friends. He'll tell them anything. And we need to make sure the real Crabbe and Goyle can't burst in on us while we're interrogating them. I've worked it all out, she went on, smoothly, ignoring Harry and Ron's stupefied faces. She held up two plump chocolate cakes. I filled these with a simple sleeping draft. All you have to do is make sure Crabbe and Goyle find them. You know how greedy they are. They're bound to eat them. Once they're asleep, pull out a few of their hairs and hide them in a broom closet. Harry and Ron looked incredulously at each other. Hermione, I don't think... That could go seriously wrong. But Hermione had a steel glint in her eye, not unlike the one Professor McGonagall sometimes had. The potion will be useless without Crabbe and Goyle's hair, she said sternly. You do want to investigate Malfoy, don't you? Oh, all right, said Harry. But what about you? Whose hair are you ripping out? I've already got mine, said Hermione brightly, pulling out a tiny bottle out of her pocket and showing them a single hair inside it. Remember Millicent Bulstrode's wrestling with me at the dueling club? She left this on my robes while she was trying to strangle me. And she's gone home for Christmas. So I'll just have to tell the Slytherins I've decided to come back. When Hermione had bustled off to check on the Polyjuice Potion again, Ron turned to Harry with a doom-laden expression. Have you ever heard of a plan where so many things could go wrong? Oh, are you okay, kitten? But to Harry and Ron's utter amazement, stage one of the operation went just as smoothly as Hermione had said. They lurked in the deserted entrance after Christmas tea, waiting for Crabbe and Goyle, who had remained alone at the Slytherin table, shoving down fourth helpings of trifle. Harry had perched the chocolate cakes on the end of the banisters. Wait, I need a timeout. I have to point out that she had just said that Harry and Ron had been stuffing down their third helpings of Christmas pudding, and that was seen as like an adorable quirk, whereas now she's food-shaming Crabbe and Goyle for eating their trifle. I think it's inappropriate of her. When they spotted Crabbe and Goyle coming out of the Great Hall, Harry and Ron hid quickly behind a suit of armor next to the front door. "How thick can you get?" Ron whispered ecstatically, as Crab gleefully pointed out the cakes to Goyle and grabbed them. Grinning stupidly, they stuffed the cakes whole into their mouths. For a moment, both of them chewed greedily, looking a look of triumph on their faces. Then, without the smallest change of expression, they both keeled over backward onto the floor. By far, the hardest part was hiding them in the closet across the hall. Once they were safely stowed among the buckets and mops, Harry yanked out a couple of the bristles that covered Goyle's forehead, and Ron pulled out several of Crab's hairs. They also stole their shoes because their own feet were far too small for Crab and Goyle-sized. Then, still stunned at what they had just done, they sprinted up to Moaning Myrtle's bathroom. They could hardly see for the thick black smoke issuing from the stall in which Hermione was stirring the cauldron. Pulling their robes over their faces, Harry and Ron knocked softly on the door. "Hermione?" They heard the scrape of the lock, and Hermione emerged, shiny-faced and looking anxious. Behind her, they heard the gloop-gloop of the bubbling, glutinous potion. Three glass tumblers stood ready on the toilet seat. "Did you get them?" Hermione asked breathlessly. Harry showed her Goyle's hair. "Good. And I sneaked these spare robes out of the laundry," said Hermione, holding up a small sack. "You'll need bigger sizes once you're Crab and Goyle." The three of them stared into the cauldron. Close up, the potion looked like thick, dark mud bubbling sluggishly. "I'm sure I've done everything right," said Hermione, nervously rereading the splotched pages of most potent potions. "It looks like the book says it should. Once we've drunk it, we'll have exactly an hour before we change back into ourselves." "Now what?" Ron whispered. "Now we separate it into three glasses and add the hairs." Hermione ladled large dollops of the potion into each of the glasses. Then, her hand trembling, she shook Millicent Bulstrode's hair out of its bottle into the first glass. The potion hissed loudly like a boiling kettle and frothed madly. A second later, it turned a sick sort of yellow. "Ugh, essence of Millicent Bulstrode," said Ron, eyeing it with loathing. "Bet it tastes awful." "Add yours, then," said Hermione. Harry dropped Goyle's hair into the middle glass, and Ron put Crab's into the last one. Both glasses hissed and frothed. Goyle's turned the khaki color of a booger, and Crab's a dark, murky brown. "Hang on," said Harry, as Ron and Hermione reached for their glasses. "We better not all drink them in here. Once we turn into Crab and Goyle, we won't fit. And Millicent Bulstrode's no pixie." "Good thinking," said Ron, unlocking the door. "We'll take separate stalls." Careful not to spill a drop of his polyjuice potion, Harry slipped into the middle stall. "Ready?" he called. "Ready," came Ron and Hermione's voices. 1, 2, 3. Pinching his nose, Harry drank the potion down in two large gulps. It tasted like overcooked cabbage. Immediately, his insides started writhing as though he just swallowed live snakes. He doubled up, he wondered whether he was going to be sick, and then a burning sensation rapidly spread from his stomach to the very ends of his fingers and toes. Next, bringing him to all fours, came a horrible melting feeling as skin all over his body bubbled like hot wax. And before his eyes, his hands began to grow, his fingers thickened, nails broadened, knuckles were bulging like boats. His shoulders stretched painfully, and a prickling on his forehead told him that hair was creeping down toward his eyebrows. His robes ripped as his chest expanded like a barrel, bursting its hoops. His feet were agony in shoes, four sizes too small. As it had started, everything stopped. Harry lay face down in the stone-cold floor, listening to Myrtle gurgling morosely in the end toilet. With difficulty, he kicked off his shoes and stood up. So this was what it felt like being Goyle. His large hand trembling, he pulled over off his old robes, which were hanging a foot above his ankles, and pulled on the spare ones, and laced up Goyle's boat-like shoes. He reached up to brush his hair out of his eyes and met only the short growth of wiry bristles low on his forehead. Then he realized that his glasses were clouding his eyes because Goyle obviously didn't need them. He took them off and called, "Are you two okay?" Goyle's low rasp of a voice issued from his mouth. "Yeah," came the deep grunt of Crab from his right. Harry unlocked his door and stepped in front of the cracked mirror. Goyle stared back at him out of the dull, deep-set eyes. Harry scratched his ear. So did Goyle. Ron's door opened. They stared at each other. Except that he looked pale and shocked, Ron was indistinguishable from Crabbe, from the pudding bowl haircut to his long gorilla arms. "This is unbelievable," said Ron, approaching the mirror and prodding Crabbe's flat nose. "Unbelievable." "We better get going," said Harry, loosening the watch that was cutting into Goyle's thick wrist. "We've still got to find out what the Slytherin common room is. I only hope we can find someone to follow." Ron, who'd been gazing at Harry, said, "You do not know how bizarre it is to see Goyle thinking." He banged on Hermione's door. "Come on, we need to go," a high-pitched voice answered him. I don't think I'm going to come after all. You go on without me." "Hermione, we know Millicent Bulstrode's ugly. No one's going to know it's you." "No, really, I don't think I'll come. You two hurry up. You're wasting time." Harry looked at Ron, bewildered. "That looks more like Goyle," said Ron. "That's how he looks every time a teacher asks him a question." "Hermione, are you okay?" said Harry through the door. "Fine. I'm fine. Go on." Harry looked at his watch. 5 of their precious 60 minutes had already passed. "We'll meet you back here, all right?" he said. Harry and Ron opened the door of the bathroom carefully, checking that the coast was clear, and set off. "Don't swing your arms like that," Harry muttered to Ron. "Eh?" Crabbe holds them sort of stiff. "How's this?" "Yeah, that's better." And I think we'll stop there. All right, a little more. They went down the marble staircase. All they needed now was a Slytherin so they could follow to the Slytherin common room, but there was nobody around. "Any ideas?" muttered Harry. "The Slytherins always come up to breakfast from over there," said Ron, nodding at the entrance to the dungeons. The words had barely left his mouth when a girl with long curly hair emerged from the entrance. "Excuse me," said Ron, hurrying up to her. "We've forgotten the way to our common room." "I beg your pardon," said the girl stiffly. "Our common room? I'm a Ravenclaw." She walked away, looking suspiciously back at them. Harry and Ron hurried down the stone steps into the darkness, their footsteps echoing particularly loudly as Crabbe's and Goyle's huge feet hit the floor, feeling that this wasn't going to be as easy as they had hoped. The labyrinthian passages were deserted. They walked deeper and deeper under the school, constantly checking their watches to see how much time they had left. After a quarter of an hour, just when they were getting desperate, they heard a sudden movement ahead. "Ha!" said Ron excitedly. "That's one of them now." The figure was emerging from the side room. As they heard nearer, however, their hearts sank. It wasn't a Slytherin. It was Percy. "What are you doing down here?" said Ron in surprise. Percy looked affronted. "That," he said stiffly, "is none of your business. It's Crabbe, isn't it?" "Oh, yeah," said Ron. "Well, get off to your dormitory," said Percy sternly. "It's not safe to go wandering around dark quarters these days." "You are," said Ron. "I," said Percy, drawing himself up, "am a prefect. Nothing is going to attack me." A voice suddenly echoed from behind Harry and Ron. Draco Malfoy was strolling toward them, and for the first time in his life, Harry was pleased to see him. "There you are," he drawled, looking at them. "Have you two been pigging out in the Great Hall all this time? I've been looking for you. I want to show you something really funny." Malfoy glanced witheringly at Percy. "What are you doing down here, Weasley?" he sneered. Percy looked outraged. "You want to show a bit more respect to a school prefect," he said, "and I don't like your attitude." Malfoy sneered and motioned for Harry and Ron to follow him. Harry almost said something apologetic to Percy, but caught himself just in time. He and Ron hurried after Malfoy, who said, as they turned into the next passage, "That Peter Weasley." "Percy," Ron corrected him automatically. "Whatever," said Malfoy. "I've noticed him sneaking around a lot lately, but I know what he's up to. He thinks he's going to catch Slytherin's heir single-handed." He gave a short, derisive laugh. Harry and Ron exchanged excited looks. Malfoy paused by a stretch of bare, damp stone wall. "What's the new password again?" he said to Harry. Said Harry. "Oh yeah, pure blood," said Malfoy, not listening, and a stone door concealed in the wall slid open. Malfoy marched through it, and Harry and Ron followed him. The Slytherin common room was a long, low, underground room with rough stone walls and a ceiling from which round, greenish lamps were hanging on chains. The fire was crackling under an elaborately carved mantelpiece in front of them, and several Slytherins were silhouetted around it in high-backed chairs. "Wait here," said Malfoy to Harry and Ron, motioning them to a pair of empty chairs, set back from the fire. "I'll go and get it. My father's just sent it to me." Wondering what Malfoy was going to show them, Harry and Ron sat down, doing their best to look at home. Malfoy came back a minute later, holding what looked like a newspaper clipping. He thrust it under Ron's nose. "That'll give you a laugh," he said. Harry saw Ron's eyes widen in shock. He read the clipping quickly and gave a very forced laugh and handed it to Harry. It had been clipped out of the Daily Prophet, and it said, "Inquiry at the Ministry of Magic. Arthur Weasley, head of the Misuse of Muggle Artifacts Office, was today fined 50 galleons for bewitching a Muggle car. Mr. Lucius Malfoy, a governor of Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry, when the enchanted car crashed earlier this year, called for Mr. Weasley's resignation. Mr. Weasley has brought the Ministry into disrepute, Mr. Malfoy told our reporter. He is clearly unfit to draw up our laws, and his ridiculous Muggle Protection Act should be scrapped immediately. Mr. Weasley was unavailable for comment, although his wife told reporters to clear off, or she'd set the family ghoul on them. Well, said Malfoy, impatiently, as Harry handed the clipping back to him. Don't you think it's funny? Ha ha, said Harry bleakly. Arthur Weasley loves Muggles so much he should snap his wand in half and go join them, said Malfoy scornfully. You'd never know the Weasleys were purebloods the way they behave. Ron's, or rather Crabbe's, face was contorted with fury. What's up with you, Crabbe? Snapped Malfoy. Stomach ache, grumbled Ron. Well, go up to the hospital wing and give all those mudbugs a kick for me, said Malfoy, snickering. You know, I'm surprised the Daily Prophet hasn't reported all these attacks yet, he went on thoughtfully. I suppose Dumbledore is trying to hush it all up. He'll be sacked if it doesn't stop soon. Father's always said old Dumbledore is the worst thing that ever happened to this place. He loves Muggleborns. A decent headmaster would never let slime like that Creevy in. Malfoy started taking pictures with an imaginary camera and did a cruel but accurate impression of Colin. Potter, can I have your picture? Potter, can I have your autograph? Can I lick your shoes, please, Potter? He dropped his hands and looked at Harry and Ron. What's the matter with you two? Far too late, Harry and Ron forced themselves to laugh, but Malfoy seemed satisfied. Perhaps Crabbe and Goyle were always slow in the uptake. St. Potter, the Mudblood's friend, said Malfoy slowly. He's another one with no proper wizard feeling, and we wouldn't go around with that jumped-up Granger Mudblood, and people think he's Slytherin's heir. Harry and Ron waited with bated breath. Malfoy was surely seconds away from telling them it was him, but then... I wish I knew who it is, said Malfoy petulantly. I could help them. Ron's jaw dropped so that Crabbe looked even more clueless than usual. Fortunately, Malfoy didn't notice, and Harry, thinking fast, said, You must have some idea who's behind it all. You know I haven't, Goyle. How many times do I have to tell you, snapped Malfoy. And Father won't tell me anything about the last time the chamber was opened. Of course, it was 50 years ago, so it was before his time, but he knows all about it. And he says it was all kept quiet, and it'll look suspicious if I know too much about it. But I know one thing. The last time the Chamber of Secrets was opened, a mudblood died. So I bet it's a matter of time before one of them is killed. I hope it's Granger, he said with a relish. Ron was clenching Crabbe's gigantic fists. Feeling that it would be a bit of a giveaway if Ron punched Malfoy, Harry shot him a warning look and said, Do you know if the person who opened the chamber last time was caught? Oh, yeah, whoever it was expelled, said Malfoy. They're probably still in Azkaban. Azkaban, said Harry, puzzled. Azkaban, the wizard prison, Goyle, said Malfoy, looking at him in disbelief. Honestly, if you were any slower, you'd be going backward. He shifted restlessly in his chair and said, Father says to keep my head down and let the heir of Slytherin get on with it. He says the school needs ridding of all the mudblood filth, not to get mixed up with it. Of course, he's got a lot on his plate at the moment. You know, the Ministry of Magic raided our manor last week. Harry tried to force Goyle's dull face into a look of concern. "Yeah," said Malfoy. "Luckily, they didn't find anything much. Father's got some very valuable dark arts stuff. But luckily, we've got our own secret chamber under the drawing room floor." "Oh," said Ron. Malfoy looked at him. So did Harry. Ron blushed. Even his hair was turning red. His nose was also slowly lengthening. Their hour was up, and Ron was turning back into himself, and from the look of horror he was suddenly giving Harry, he must be too. They both jumped to their feet. "Medicine for my stomach," Ron grunted. Without further ado, they sprinted the length of the Slytherin common room, hurled themselves at the stone wall, and dashed up the passage, humping against hope that Malfoy hadn't noticed anything. Harry could feel his feet slipping around in Goyle's huge shoes, and he had to hoist up his robes as he shrank. They crashed up the steps into the dark entrance hall, which was full of muffled pounding coming from the closet where they'd locked Crabbe and Goyle. Leaving their shoes outside the closet door, they sprinted up in their socks to the marble staircase toward Moaning Myrtle's bathroom. "Well, it wasn't a complete waste of time," said Ron, panting, closing the bathroom door behind them. "I know we still haven't found out who's doing the attacks, but I'm going to write to Dad tomorrow and tell them to check under the Malfoy's drawing room." Harry checked his face into the cracked mirror. He was back to normal. He put his glasses on as Ron hammered the door of Hermione's stall. "Hermione, come out. We've got loads to tell you." "Go away," Hermione squeaked. Harry and Ron looked at each other. "What's the matter?" said Ron. "You must be back to normal by now. We are." But Moaning Myrtle glided suddenly through the stall door. Harry had never seen her looking so happy. "Ooh, wait till you see," she said. "It's awful." They heard the lock slide back, and Hermione emerged, sobbing, her robes pulled up over her head. "What's up?" said Ron, uncertainly. "Have you still got Millicent's nose or something?" Hermione let her robes fall, and Ron backed into the sink. Her face was covered in black fur. Her eyes had turned yellow, and there were long, pointed ears poking through her hair. "It was a cat hair," she howled. "Millicent Bulstrode must have a cat, and the potion isn't supposed to be used for animal transformations." "Uh-oh," said Ron. "You'll be teased something dreadful," said Myrtle happily. "It's okay, Hermione," said Harry quickly. "We'll take you up to the hospital wing. Madame Pomfrey never asks too many questions." It took a long time to persuade Hermione to leave the bathroom. Moaning Myrtle sped them on their way with a hearty guffaw. "Wait till everyone finds out you've got a tail," she said. And that's the end of chapter 12. And next we'll read chapter 13, called The Very Secret Diary. I hope you like that, baby kitten. Sleep well, beautiful girl. And I'll see you tomorrow. Good night.